to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Good morning, Dolphins fans, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily on this Tuesday, September the 24th. We are just days removed from the 31-6 loss to the Dallas Cowboys, and we just got a quick show for you here discussing some of the press conference tidbits from Brian Flores, as well as leading us up to the game against the Chargers. We're going to talk some injuries as well, and obviously go around the NFL and talk about what many on Twitter are calling the tankathon, and just kind of give an update on what's going on around the league, and that'll be it for the show. So this will be a quick show, not too much to talk about, other than some of the tidbits from the press conference. And we want to start with Brian Flores, the head coach. He came into the press conference feeling a little bit indifferent about how the team performed, but he said there were some bright spots, so let's go through it. He was asked regarding Allen Hurns as we get to the injury front. So the Dolphins, during the game against Dallas on Sunday, lost Allen Hurns, Jesse Davis, and Danny Isadora to injuries. And when asked about the injury report coming on Wednesday, anything that he could divulge in regards of the injuries to the players, he did mention that Allen Hurns is in concussion protocol. The medical staff kept him in Dallas overnight due to the significance of the concussion that he suffered, and they didn't want him traveling back with the team. But he did travel back on Monday. He does have a neck injury. His neck is stiff. I shouldn't say a neck injury. He has a concussion, but his neck is really sore. So I don't think we're going to see an Allen Hurns sighting this Sunday against the Chargers. It looks like the Dolphins may, if they don't get Albert Wilson back this week, which is a possibility that will not be the case. But there is a possibility that the Dolphins will have to elevate Isaiah Ford from the practice squad to be the fourth receiver. The Dolphins were running with three receivers pretty much all game after Allen Hurns went down almost towards the end of the first quarter, into the second. So without Hurns, it was Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and Jakeem Grant. Not another active receiver on the roster yesterday, so the Dolphins will need to elevate Isaiah Ford if Albert Wilson cannot play this coming week against the Chargers. So something to keep your eye on there. Regarding Jesse Davis, nothing was said regarding his injury, but Brian Flores talking to him, Jesse Davis feels like he's optimistic that he will be able to get out there and practice this week, which would lead to a good sign that he could play. Mostly precautionary for the reason he didn't come back into the game yesterday. Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys. So there are things to look at, especially with Jesse Davis. And Danny Isadora was seen leaving the locker room with a walking boot. So his status is going to be up in the air, and the Dolphins are slim pickings at wide receiver and offensive line. So prayers to Josh Rosen, and hopefully he will be able to walk out of the stadium healthy against Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram of the Chargers on Sunday next week. In regards of what Brian Flores believes he can build on, he was asked the questions, what things did you see from the game that you think you can build on? And Brian Flores mentioned, there are definitely some opportunities for us to make plays in all three phases, from the surprise onside kick to there was a kickoff return where if we made one more block, there was a lot of should've, could've, would've in the game, but definitely some opportunities for us offensively. Obviously, we had some drops. Defensively, we had some missed tackles. Some opportunities on third down we didn't take advantage of, third and long, second and long. I think the team, from what I've seen, there seems to be some opportunities for us to have a little bit more control of the game, and we just didn't take advantage of them. There are plays to be made that we can make that we just aren't making in all three phases. I think if we make two, three, or four, five more plays, the game is a little bit different. Well, obviously, that is a logical answer. If you're missing on opportunities and not getting your plays to go right, it's going to be a long day, and it's been a very long 3 weeks for the Dolphins so far this year. But there has been improvements, and I mentioned on the post-game wrap-up show, it's nice to see some of the improvements. And the improvements that we saw on Sunday against Dallas, time of possession was a huge improvement. Yeah, they didn't score any touchdowns, but you saw sustained drives, something we haven't seen. The Dolphins are averaging near 20 minutes a game on the field on offense. And against Dallas, they were a little over 29 minutes of offense. So sustaining drives, that was a good start. And it all started at the quarterback position. Josh Rosen made plays with his legs and with his arm and was able to move the team down the field in the first half. And obviously the second half was a completely different story, but I liked what I saw out of Josh Rosen in the game. And I hope that Chad O'Shea will take the handcuffs a little bit from Josh Rosen and give him more on his plate. Stop with the vanilla stuff and get the ball moving down the field. And I think you can see some success this week against the Chargers. They are not a very good team in Miami. They have proven that time and time again that they are not a very good team down in South Florida. Phillip Rivers struggles, and the Dolphins find ways to win games against the Chargers. In fact, I believe they won their last two or three games against the Chargers over the past 4 or 5 years. So this is a good opportunity for Josh Rosen in front of the home fans at the game to really get out there and put on a good show. And the Dolphins have a bye week in week 5, which is going to be huge. Get some of these guys healthy and get ready for the grind of the rest of the regular season as the 12 games remaining on the schedule begin week 6 after the bye week against the Washington Redskins at home before they go into a very difficult stretch of football. You know, they have the Bills, then they have the Steelers on Monday Night Football, and then they return home against Adam Gase and the Jets. So I say it's tough football, even though, you know, the Bills are the only team with a winning record that's on the slate coming up. But the Dolphins haven't been able to prove that they can do well and put up points and be competitive in these games when it comes to the scoreboard. So there's a lot to look forward to for Josh Rosen this week, and hopefully we see a little bit more there. Continuing with Brian Flores' press conference, he did talk about Raekwon McMillan, and this is one of the areas that's kind of a head-scratcher. Raekwon McMillan has only seen about 80 plays on defense for the entire season, and per Pro Football Focus, he grades out the second best in the league in those minimum snaps. So if the Dolphins can get more from Raekwon McMillan, maybe the run defense does improve with him on the field. And obviously, you got to find the right plays to move him and get him onto the field with Jerome Baker and Sam Aguayvon. But based on Brian Flores, he would like to see him in bigger packages. He's played well, and he'd say the same thing about Sam Aguayvon and Baker, Jerome Baker. But those and he feels they've played well. All the stats don't show it, especially in the tackle category and giving up 200-plus yards of rushing for the second time in 3 weeks. You got to find a spark there, and I think Raekwon McMillan could be it. But he believes he's doing a great job, and he's evaluating how they can get him on the field more. So expect to see a little bit more Raekwon McMillan also this coming week against the Chargers. When asked, is there one specific message you have for the team leading up to the Chargers game, Brian Flores, quote, get better. That's the message every week. Let's get better. Let's come back. Let's practice. Let's improve. Let's get better. I think it's pretty clear that there are some plays that we could have had out there that's disappointing, but I guess the silver lining that there are some opportunities that we can definitely take advantage of. If we continue to put ourselves in those positions where we have those opportunities, I think we will take advantage of them. That's my message. Just keep continuing to get better. I feel like that's been the case each week. The results haven't been what we want them to be, but I think in time things will turn. That is the hope, and that's the hope for me. As you know, as a fan of the team and a guy that looks at this team week in, week out, and how they play, how they perform, what the tape looks like, I think when we really break it down, again, I believe that there has been improvement with the team. You saw it in the first half against Dallas. They were toe-to-toe with Dallas, who had no business not performing well yesterday against the Dolphins until the second half started. But general improvement. Again, this is about evaluating the players on the roster. This is a rebuild that's going to dive in headfirst into 2020. And they want to figure out which of these young kids can be here on this roster, on this 53 going forward, as this is going to be another roster purge. I think we're going to see a lot of changes and a lot of transitions for the Dolphins next offseason. So it's about evaluating the roster and seeing where it goes from there. A couple other tidbits from the post-game from Sunday. Xavier Howard, he did not have his best game at Dallas. He didn't sugarcoat it either. He said it was a tough loss. He has to get we have to get the job done, and he didn't have his best game. He is really frustrated, but you know they have to move on, and I think that's a key area for the Dolphins is to continue to move forward and not dwell on the past. And the past is where it is in the past. They can only look ahead to their next game, and I really think with the Chargers coming to town, this is a great opportunity for the Miami Dolphins to really evaluate the guys, get guys healthy on the bye week, and get ready to play week 6 against the Redskins. This is a big, big time coming up in the Dolphins schedule and where the season is going to go. It's, you know, I would personally like to see a win or two this year. And they have some winnable games coming up against the Redskins, the Steelers, and the Jets, 3 out of the next 4 games after the bye week. There is an opportunity there to see a couple wins. We'll see how things shake out, and we'll see how the Dolphins continue to prepare going forward for the week. One other topic here is Michael Dieter. I talked about Jesse Davis's injury and how he missed the bulk of the snaps, but what I didn't talk about was Michael Dieter sliding into left tackle mid-game. He has practice reps at left tackle, but he was given a very daunting task of playing left tackle in a game that the Cowboys blew it open in the second half, so the Cowboys were pinning their ears back and getting after Josh Rosen in the pocket. But I commend Michael Dieter. I thought he had a pretty good game overall. Again, I'm not praising him because he was fantastic. I think for the circumstance that Michael Dieter was in, he played well. You know, we can't knock the rookie from moving from left guard to left tackle in an important game. You know, in an important moment of the game, I should say. So, commending him for a job well done in the situation. So, again, it's a fluid situation right now with what's going on with the health of the football team. We'll see how things progress throughout the week. To wrap up the show, let's talk about Tankathon, because the Miami Dolphins are losing football games and losing them by quite a bit. But as we look at the current standings in the NFL, right now it is the Bengals and the Jets jostling for the first overall pick. Miami owns currently the 3rd pick and the 4th pick, with Pittsburgh being 0-3. And the other winless teams right now, Washington, Arizona, and Denver. So those are the teams right now with 0 wins currently in the league. And when you look at that up and down, the Dolphins, now that they own Pittsburgh's pick, Pittsburgh's out of the equation regardless. So, and they are going to need a quarterback. There's no way to sugarcoat it. They're going to need a quarterback. But the Bengals, we know, need a quarterback. The Redskins, we know, may look at quarterback. We haven't seen Dwayne Haskins yet. So we'll see how that plays out. And Denver has Drew Locke, who they took in the second round. They really do like him. But if they're drafting at the top of the draft, do you take a Herbert? Do you take a Love or a Tua if you're sitting in the right position? That is something that will sort itself out. But the way that the season is going so far, I like what I've seen from Cincinnati. They're a competitive bunch. They lost a heartbreaker Two out of the first 3 weeks, they lost by one against Seattle in Seattle, and then they lost yesterday in a heartbreaker against the Bills, 21-17. The Bengals have some winnable games on the schedule, and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati both play each other. So if you're rooting for the tank, you want to root for the Cincinnati Bengals for two reasons. Number one, it gets the Bengals on the board with a W. And number two, it puts a loss in the Pittsburgh Steelers column, which again helps the Dolphins. So you definitely want to root for the Cincinnati Bengals. Jets are on a bye week, and they come off the bye week against Philadelphia. I think they also have the Cowboys in the mix, and then they also play the Patriots again on primetime. So Adam Gase has his work cut out for him. As Mike said on the post-game wrap-up show on Sunday night, the Jets is the team that worries him the most, because wouldn't be poetic justice that Adam Gase is the team that gets the first pick in the draft and block the Dolphins from getting Tua. They'll trade the pick to anybody else but Miami because Adam Gase is there. So at some point, the Jets have to win to help the Dolphins get into position to achieve what, quote-unquote, their goal is, which is to get the top pick to get Tua out of Alabama. We're still a long way to go, but the standings are starting to come together. Arizona, Kyler Murray looks good, and I don't believe they'll be in the market for a quarterback for the third straight year in at the top of the draft board. I just don't see that happening. So Arizona's out of the equation. We can rule out potentially Denver. Washington, we don't know. I guess we'll see how Haskins plays. If he plays well, the Redskins may skip on a quarterback. So it all boils down to the Bengals, the Jets, and the Dolphins. Most likely jostling for that top pick as of right now. I mean, Oakland stinks. They're not very good. And Derek Carr's really in his last year of his contract. I know it is for his contract extends out past this year, but the money and cap hit is different. So I think that if Oakland doesn't turn it around and get a couple more wins, Oakland may be in the conversation to get that first pick. And they do have two first-round draft picks. Remember that they do have the Bears' first-round pick in the 2020 draft as well. So Oakland is in the same position as Miami in regards of ammunition in the first round. So we'll see how things play out. Outside of that, one last team is the Giants, and Daniel Jones played lights out yesterday for the Giants, especially in the absence of Saquon Barkley, and it ended up working out great for them as they got their first W. So the Giants have to play the Redskins. The Dolphins play the Jets twice. The Bengals have to play the Steelers twice. It is such a fluid situation, and it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, it's fun to watch in the aspect of the tank talk, quote-unquote the tank talk. But the Dolphins are in prime position to get potentially two top 10 draft picks, one maybe in the top five, maybe two in the top five. We just have to hope that Pittsburgh continues to struggle with Mason Rudolph, the quarterback, and that pick becomes a little bit nicer for the Dolphins so they can really figure out what they want to do at the top of the draft. So that's it for the show. I just wanted to have that kind of a fun conversation. As I wrap up the show, be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com every day for all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information. We have a great staff with great articles. Be sure to check out our daily shows throughout the week. Check out Countdown to Kickoff to get you ready for kickoff against the LA Chargers this Sunday. And, of course, the DolphinsTalk.com flagship show, the DolphinsTalk.com post-game wrap-up show featuring myself and Mike Oliva as we break down the game. Once we get through this game, we will be on a bye week. Obviously, we will talk when there is news, but most likely we'll see the Miami Dolphins probably have a little bit of a break. So news may not be coming in as hot and heavy, but week six against the Redskins, Mike and I will be live from Hard Rock Stadium talking about the game. So that'll be a lot of fun. Be a lot of fun to talk about when we're down there in South Florida covering the Redskins game. So again, thank you all for listening. I appreciate all of you. Again, check out the shows later this week. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. I am out. Fins up. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.